It's February 11th. We're learning the development of the Haggadah, and today we'll be discussing Arba Kosos. Of course, the last parak in the Sefer Psachim is the address in Shas for everything you need to know about making Kiddush. I might have expected Masechet Shabbos to talk more about that, but you know that the Masechtos, especially in Moed, begin with preparations for that particular holiday. Sukkah will begin with building a sukkah. Yuma will begin with the week before Yom Kippur. Right? Even Masechet Shviyos begins with the Indian of Harisha, the year before Shmita. Preparation for things come in advance. Right? So, as far as Masechet Shabbos, I would have expected it to start with the laws of lighting candles, but that waits till Perek Beis. Tosfos discusses this in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, why we start with the laws of carrying. In one way, carrying is also before Shabbos, because the Brisa tells us that you should check your pockets before Shabbos to make sure you're not carrying. All right, that's a pre-Shabbos Inyan. And then in Perek Beis, it gets into the question of lighting candles, which is, of course, before Shabbos. So too, Psachim starts with preparations before Pesach, which is cleaning the house with Chametz. And for some reason, the question of Zechreiwal Ayayin Bichni Sasso would be Itziyaso is.
Let me know.
Okay, just give me write it on a piece of paper for me.
Yeah.
I'll send it straight to it. Alright, so that's okay. So Psachim is your place for all the Inyanim of Kiddush, Kiddush Rav Masuda, Brachos. To be sure, Masechet Brachos also had Inyanim about that relates to the Seuda, about of what order you make Kiddush. But that's not our purpose here, so that you have to skip through a little bit of Kasher to get to what is in his page, pagination, page 90. Look for it, says Arba Kosos. Okay, you're looking at this. Alright, you have it? Yeah, there. In the Mishnah it says, V'lo yichasu lo me'arba kosos shoyayin. You shall have no less than 4 cups of wine. Alright, now do you also have, I think I gave you out some pages. Maybe that here. You have it here that says the 4 cups. Looks like this. Mm-hmm. Okay, now basically what these pages do for you is it's pretty much all of Kasher that I gave you, the sources are out here. Right? So there's no reason to read it through Kasher, you just until it says Kos Hamishi, which is on page 94 in Kasher. Let's just look at some of our sources. Okay? Most of you probably are familiar with the Rashbam. Rashbam writes in Arvei Psachim that it's Kenegia before Mehulos, Bilmseisi, Mehitzalpi. What's interesting is that the Rashbam then writes Lukafti Gugalti. He writes them out of order. And this came up in my last class, whether when Rashbam, who was not such a medactic in his commentary, but half the time when he quotes Psukim and Neviim, they misquote it. Right? He's just writing by heart. He's writing or quoting a pasuk in Habakkuk. So he just wrote whatever came to his mind. Maybe he intended to edit his works and didn't make it, didn't get around to it. Or he didn't expect what he was writing to actually be he didn't expect what he was writing to ever be read by people. But this is flagrant, no, isn't it? So what's interesting is on these pages I give you all the others who copied these 4 words in the same order. And then the people started to doctrine that disorder. I don't know, it's crazy.
How did they not figure it out?
I know, it's basically Nisalti v'galti
v'kachti. The darshan from that same order, if it's the wrong order.
Yeah, but there's some reason, there's a chokhma behind changing the order from 3 to 4 to 4 to 3. Alright. Anyway, it's not so important for us. But that's the one that most people quote because Rishpa mentions it. And that's Yerushalmi. Alright? So it says, V'lo yifasumo ne'avakos, this is source number one. Right, so source number two is the Yerushalmi. Take a look with it. Minayin l'arba kosos. It's interesting that this is not a Talmud Bavli. It's a Yerushalmi. Huh. You think the Talmud Bavli... Are you familiar, by the way, with Arabic Psochem? How far you have to get into Maseches Psochem before you get to the Gemara saying Samach HaMincha? Arabic Psochem is that Tzarek Tesem Aleis. You have to get to Kuf Zayin on the Beis before you get to the word Samach HaMincha. So in 16 pages of Gemara, you think they'd get around to... Alright, the words Apokosis appear later, no doubt. But so much stuff about Kiddush, it's a very long paragraph, beautiful. But the Bavli never gets around to tell us why do we have four cups. Yerushalmi does. So Rabbi Yochanan b'Shem, etc. Keneged arba ge'ulos. They gives you the four pesukim. Lachayim morgim neYisrael, Yashem, Botesi Yischem, Begal Kachti Yischem. He skips from the first to the fourth. Right? Four cups come from these four gigulos. Right? Incidentally, there's a Torah Tamima here that number seven, I'm skipping all the way to number seven for a minute, and he says that just the fitumcha. You ever hear people say the reason why we have four cups is because of Dalid Lashonos Shel Geulah? You hear that?
Yeah.
But that's the Torah Tzimah says, first of all, that expression does not appear in the original source. It says, look back at the Yerushalmi, it says, Keneged Arba Geulos. Not Arba Lashonos Shel Geulah. Alright, is the Torah Tzimah just nitpicking? What's the difference? Arba Geulos is different than Arba Lashonos Shel Geulah. Because Arba Lashonos Shel Geulah, as Torah Tzvi himself says in number 7, might indicate that it is just four different synonyms, all of which could possibly mean a type of Geulah, right? Even as one of them is the word Geulah, right? Torah Tzvi says that's a mistake. These are not four synonyms. These are four separate events. These are four geulos undoing the shibud. Slowly, slowly, in stages. Of course, the reader wants to wonder why we don't talk about a fifth stage, the hevesi. Right? Okay, well, it seems that this led to a philosophical problem that Ibn Ezra deals with, is that we learn from Sefer Yirmiyahu, chapter 29, that when Hashem makes a promise for something good, makes a prophecy. This is a prophecy. I'm telling Moshe of what's going to happen is that I'm going to take you to the land I promised your ancestors. That didn't happen. The vast majority of these people died in the desert. All right, okay. You didn't keep what bargain? You just said, don't say to yourself, Evesi. So Ibn Ezra gives, I think, a forced answer. He said, okay, it didn't happen to all of them, but whoever at this point of hearing these words was 18 and younger did get into the land of Israel. Right? And if you add to the Bechor Shor, he said that whoever was 20 and over at the time of the Meraglim, was it 20 and younger at the time of the Meraglim, or at least 60 and older at the time of the Meraglim, got into Israel. Only people between 20 and 60 were locked out of Israel. Why not Gemino? Because it was only men of army age that didn't get to go into Israel if they were alive at the time of the Meraglim. But if you were older than that, right, you wouldn't have gone in to fight anyway. So That's where the age 20 comes from. Even though it doesn't say so explicitly in the Torah, there's some Rishonim who say that if you were older, I'm just putting that. So the Ibn Ezra says that if you were 18 or younger when hearing these words, you're the one whom Behevesi applied to. Okay? I'm not sure that this is it. Are you satisfied with this answer? The vast majority of the people hearing this, it didn't happen to them. By the way, you know what the Yirmiyahu is leading with this, right? Did you learn Yirmiyahu last year?
Yeah, last semester.
Right. Should I test you?
Please don't.
I'm going to rewrite my evaluation. So, Yirmiyahu predicted a 70-year loss. Another prophet, Hananiah ben Azur, said, no, it won't be 70, it'll only be a 2-year golus, will come right back.
Oh, yeah, no, then, I remember this.
He said,
I wish you'd be right. And then we learned from there, like, that you can change a prophecy. If I forget whether it was from...
If you're right, that stuff doesn't prove me...
Right.
That I'm the false prophet.
It means that
you did a great tshuva and Hashem went back on a bad prophecy. Hashem can always go back in there. A prophet can say, oh, that boy, yom, v'nid v'nid pochas, and it doesn't happen because inherent in every bad prophecy is you can change this. You don't know what the Xarazin is. You can always change your bad prophecy. But one thing you can't change, says Yirmiyahu, and the Rambam makes a big deal about this in a number of his writings, even in his Akdama to the Mishnah Torah, he says that inherent in all of this is that if there's a good prophecy,
then it won't be changed.
It won't be changed. So when we reach year two, and if we do not return, then
if we don't return,
then that's a clear sign that
there was a problem that Yirmiyahu was right now. Because if we don't
that
return,
you're a liar, right?
Yirmiyahu is
a liar.
And
then he says, you won't even have to wait that long because I predict, I just got a prophecy that you're dying this year. And he did.
But I thought for a prophecy for individuals, that cannot be changed. Right?
Yes, so the Rambam is mechalik between individual prophecies. That's why right. Yaakov, even though Hashem had just told him, I'm going to be with you, I'll take care of you, Yaakov was still worried right afterwards in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. Right. And those who can give that difference. But this is clearly a prophecy, not just for individuals, but for the whole nation. They have aces now. So the Orach Chaim, who has this kasha on Ibn Ezra, the Orach Chaim says, if you look carefully in Parshas Va'era, let me read you the psukim, and you'll give the answer immediately. All right? Or if you know it by heart, that'd be great. He says, V'hotzeisi eschem mitachas siblos mitzrayim v'itzalvi eschem le'avodasam the Gaalti Eschem is run to the Shvatim Gedolim. The Lokati Eschem Lila Om, the Aisi Lachem Elohim. Now listen carefully. Vidatem, ki ani Hashem Elokecha, mamotzi Eschem itachas of los Mitzrayim. Behevesi Eschem el Aret Hashem Esasi Esidi Vasesus. The answer. The first four are happening no matter what. That's why we always have four cups. But Behevesi, is contingent. What did they just read? No.
Vidatem.
You have to know that I'm the God. That's, obviously, the people who were engaged in the Me'egel and the Meraglim did not engender such understanding. So if you want to get the Hevesi, you've got to be Vidatem.
So
that
is.
You could
also refer to the Jews who were in Egypt.
Weren't
there some Jews who didn't leave Egypt?
Okay, that's correct. Yeah, whole separate issue, but the people who left Egypt expected to get to Israel. Why didn't they? God made a promise to them. The answer is because you didn't do Vidatem. Okay. Anyway, that's the that says these are not four synonyms to describing different words for Geula. These are four separate events. And then finally culminating with a fifth, if you deserve it. But these four you're getting no matter what. This works interestingly well with, by the way, with Rabban, who starts Shmos by saying that there were five stages of subjugation, starting with Sarei Siv, which is not taskmasters, but taxmasters, the coincidentally phonetically similar tax masters. If you wanted to live in a land when you were not native, you had to pay a foreign tax all over the ancient world. That was a punch in the face to Yosef's families because we saved your country and we invited us here. All right, but after some time, they said, these Jews are here long enough. Let's either get rid of them or put them to the foreign tax. All right, but they went along. Then, and like my work today, I work 7 days a week, right? So I'm paying Uncle Sam 3 days a week or so. I work for nothing. I'm a slave to this country for 3 days, and I don't get paid on those 3 days.
But Uncle Sam's going to elect it.
Right? Follow me? All right? If this particular person gets elected, I'm going to be working 6 days for the country for nothing. All right? So, I mean, obviously it depends on your bracket, but the point is that this Sarayi Sim took on the form of Avodas Perich. And then it turned to Vayamaruz Chayehem. Then he says it turned to the Ados, who were told to secretly kill Jewish Hebrew babies, and then it was Vayomer L'chol Amo, it was open genocide.
How did Jews get into Egypt to begin with, from the start? How did they get, as I thought Paro like actually enticed them at first.
Alright, Yosef told them to come, you know, to bring it, gave them Goshen, gave them nice fertile land,
right?
But it's similar to the Nuremberg laws, you know, that there were maybe more than five stages even, but the Germans had a particular plan for the Jews all along, but they knew that they had to incrementally institute these racial laws because, you know, even the Germans themselves wouldn't have gone in 1933 for what ended up being the laws in 1939. Right? They had to slowly inculcate the, you know, the fear and the... Okay, so notice that what the Ramban does, the Torah Tzvimah works very well, that each stage of subjugation, you know, went into five stages, and the stages of ending that subjugation also took on five forms. Okay. So does everyone agree of see why we and the Rishami didn't use the statement Lishonos? It said Dal Gehulos. These are four separate events. Okay? Rabbi Shulban Levi Omar, Kenegan Arba Kosos Shal Paro. The Kos Paro Biyadiva Eschat Osama Kos Paro Batinas Kos Alkat Paro and Safa Kos Paro Biyadiva. Now, this is the story of the Mashkeh, Sarah Mashkeh, in his dream that he's telling Yosef. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Right? So in that story, the word kos also appears four times, and that's... So, wait a second, is that... That's all of it? Shouldn't there be some kind of thematic linkage between these? Okay, it's Egypt. It's Pharaoh. Right? Is there something more than that? Well, what did this man end up being for Yosef? This man ends up saving Yosef, right? How?
Well, I'm remembering him.
But first,
by
forgetting him. Because if he goes to Paro immediately and says, Paro, you never believe this. There's this kid in jail. No. Maybe you should have him in your court, but in the very least, he really did me this great favor. He was really good. You know, but of course, this guy has just enough capital with the king to begin with. The king was just angry with him, and he came that close to being killed. Right? So, just so you should know that the Kliyokor does this, I think even some Rishonim, that he says there were four people that Yosef interacted with in jail. Look carefully in the text. There was an Ofer, there was a Mashkeh, and there was a Sarah Ofer and a Sarah Mashkeh. Look carefully.
Why couldn't it be referring to the same Sarah Ofer?
There's a Sarah Ofer who probably never gets into the kitchen. Sarah Ofer orders the wheat and he orders the grain. He has Ofer in the kitchen who are busy baking bread. The Sarah Ofer gets the 30 breads and picks the one that Paro is going to have for breakfast. Right? Correct? So, Chazal even said, we don't even know why he was angry with them. Chazal said because there was a pebble in his roll and there was a fly in his cup. Right? is a Sara Mashkim who's responsible for taking all the wine. He sips a little first, right, to see if it's poison, and then he puts it in Paro's cup. He never enters the wine vat, right? There is a Mashke who is in the wine vat and he's making sure it's all the best wine in the entire country, right? Fine. Who does the Medrash say was more responsible? Why does the Sar HaMashkim get to live? Because what's a greater threat to a king's life? A fly in a cup or a pebble in the roll? Pebble in the roll, nobody even knows. Maybe it's a piece of cyanide. Maybe it's a... Who knows what's... You see it there? Four different references there. What's going on? Right? So who knows what you know, this could be a threat to my life. I can chip a tooth, I can swallow my tooth and choke on this rock. This guy tried to kill me, right? But a fly can just jump into the cup at the last second, right? Who's more, so that's why the baby dies, right? But says the Kliyakar, be careful. Because if this is indeed why it happened, then the Sar HaMashkim is more guilty than the Sar HaOfen. Why? Because the fly in the cup is the last thing I get. You're supposed to look in there right before I get it to make sure it's worthy for me. The guy in the vat has nothing to do with the fly in the cup. Right? But when it comes to the baker, the Sarah Ofim is less guilty than the Sarah Mashkin. You follow? This is why the butler really owed Yosef. You know, the butler was more worried than the chief butler was more worried than the chief baker. They knew why they were in jail, but the chief baker is hoping maybe he'll go into the kitchen and find out who made that roll. When I choose his roll, I don't dig into them to see if there's a piece of something in it. You following? I have to find out who made it, but yeah, I never got there. I got it as soon as he put me in jail. But then Yosef favors the Sar HaMashkim and tells him you're going to get back there for whatever reason that Paro decided.
So then one was, so he, according to the Kliyakar, that means one, let's say the Sar HaOfen, which one was killed, the Ofen or the Sar HaOfen?
The Sar HaOfen. The Ofen, the Mashkim, we don't know who they are. Not going to kill everybody in the kitchen. But.
So he says the other three guys lived.
Yeah. So anyway, here's the point, is that the Sar HaMashkim has very little capital for Yosef. That's why Yosef is blamed for putting so much emphasis. He had told him not once, but twice to remember me. Right? But that's all part of the story. Right? You can have the Tom say, Mazos, God, what's this all about? Why did I have to spend 2 more years in jail? Why did we have to be in Egypt before you made us your holy nation? Right? So comes this, you see my thematic linkage? What is it, just because the word Kos appears 4 times? Well, Kos, Paro, that's enough. Paro is the king of Egypt, we left Egypt. All right. Kos written 4 times. No, it's more than that. It's a thematic linkage. Yosef spending that extra time in jail is a philosophical question. Why, God, why do you keep punching him this way? Just give him his mission and shine. No, Yosef becomes... He becomes greater and greater with every trial. And so are we as people. Alright, got it? Okay, that's so you have two in the Yerushalmi. Let's look at number three, Medrash HaGadol. You all know what Medrash HaGadol is? It's a pretty late compilation. Right? The Medrash HaGadol to Devarim is actually the same as Medrash Tanoim, known as Medrash Tanoim, which is a very old Medrash. So it's pretty much a different compilation of sources. Here it says, take a look, source number 3. Right? Devarach Rebbe, Otsesi Eschem, Vitzalti Eschem, Vigalti Eschem, Lekachti Eschem, Keneged Arba Geulos Talalu, Tignu Chachamim, Arba Kosos, Belele HaPesach. That's just like the Mishami, right? Okay, Natan, can you continue? Keneged on
Atira Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ashkosh, Vitzal, Arba Kosos,
Tanchumim.
So
the fourth cup even needs an extra limud. But okay, I have 4 cups of Tanchumim for the future. I would have preferred that what he does with Bereishis Rabbah does in source number 4 is that before you tell me about the 4 cups of Geula in the future, you should have told me about the 4 cups of Galus in Yirmiyahu chapter 25, which is Bereishis Rabbah does. Right? Bereishis Rabbah adds, right? Bereishis Rabbah says in the middle of Bereishis Rabbah, number 4, you see it? Okay, so it says Kineged Arba Geulos. Shnei Rabbi Tzvi. It says Yitzadu Galut Lekachti. Right, then Rabbi Shmuel Ben Nachman. You see it on the 4th line of number 4. Gracious Rabbi, Kineged Arba Kosos. Shenumru Kan VeKos Paro VeYodiv Eschato Sam. So that's the butler, the chief butler. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Levi Amar Kineged Arba Kosos Shel Tareila. That's a new perush now. The 4 cups of poison that Hashem told Yirmiyahu to pass around the world. Okay? 4 cups of poison that everyone had to drink from Bavel. And Kenegdom, you have the 4 cups that Medrash HaGadol mentions. Bereishis Rabbah, however, says the same. You say, Kenegdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashkeh Es Yisrael Arba Kosos Shel Yeshua. Right, you see that? Arba Kosos Shel Yeshua. Right? La'asid Lavo. Here it just mentions 3 cups. Remember in the Medrash HaGadol, the 4th cup had to be like a Gzeirah Shavah because of Tanchumim is only with a Kos. This Medrash just says 3 cups because Kos Yeshua is 2 itself. It's a drash, but it should be kosos. But all right, kos yeshuos, right? You see, you guys say, right? I wrote the numbers 1, 2, 3 at the bottom there. So 1 is 1, 2 is 2, 3 is 3 and 4. All right. All right. Got it? Are you bothered by the fact that in the Mishnah it says Lo yifchasu lo me arba kosos, which means it's a feminine word, and in all these midrashim it says arba kosos, arba. Everyone says arba kosos.
Isn't modern Hebrew that it's nekeva?
So kos is one of those words that changed.
Right.
It changes.
Okay.
It looks it looks masculine.
Yeah.
It's pluralized feminine. Right. So whether it's masculine or feminine, word it changed over time. But I'll tell you that this there's a Tosfos in Arvei Pesachim. I don't think I have it in these pages. There's a Tosfos in Daf Kufte Zayin, Dibra Maschil, Shiro Chadosha.
You say that
Nodavani,
Shiro Chadosha, Shikud Yulim. Oz Yoshim Oshem Meisrael, it's Hashiro Hazos. If you're familiar with Friday night, you say Shiru Lashem. Shir Chadash. So what's the difference? Is this strange? I mean, keep in mind, is it the word Shir or Shira? Is it 2 different words? Is it 2 different types of Shira? So there's a toast with that. But we discussed this with the word Halayla Hazed, you remember? Don't go on Halayla Hazed. Halayla looks feminine, but it's actually masculine. Pluralized feminine, it's forth looking feminine, but it's a Laila Hazet, should be a Laila Hazos. Kind of strange word, but show me another word of this in the Torah. So the Vilna Gaon made a whole big drash about it. He said, it's nighttime. Nighttime is a time of Ptur and Mitzvahs. No lulav at night, no shofar at night, no, right? So, but it's, nonetheless, it's a time of Chiyur. Matzah, Moror, Sipur, Pesach. Usually the time of tour, which is another reason why women are chayavus and all these things. This night behaves like a day. Manishtana halayla hazemi kol alelos. Right? And that, by the way, this is like it's an overall theme, I think, of the Haggadah. And remember, you blessed us, you made reference to that
piyutim we say at the end, you know, v'amagdim nefesh v'pesach. So there's a, you know, it's actually a famous tune of a song. Na 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 na. I don't know this. Na 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 na. Shomrei mafkei mafkei liyucha kol harayom bechol ma'am. Everyone uses it for kiladom, uses for chadom. Everyone uses this. So shirbal, I always use it for shirbal in my house. So in fact, we have come to the minhag in my house to introduce shiramalos with Shomrei Mafkei. So, Shomrei Mafkei liyucha kol hayom v'chol halayla, like korev yom asher hu lo yom v'lo layla. What is that? Waiting for a day that's neither day or night. What is it? Obviously, it's about the So I think that's plugging into this whole idea that this night is behaving like a day. Right? It's obviously not day, because it's and there's no sun out, but it's also not night. Right? So it's lo yom lo laila. And there are actually some nafkaminas la halacha. Let me tell you two halachas in Shulchan Aruch. One, if it's a Friday night, you don't say Magen Avos. Have you heard that halacha? First night of Pesach is a Friday night, you don't say Magen Avos. This is in Arif Zachar. Why do we say Magen Avos on a Friday night? The Talmud Bavli is one reason. I've seen other reasons in other interesting discussions in Rishonim, why we have like a semi-chazoros hashatz on Friday night, right? And not on any other night. But, alright, but the Gemara says it's for the sake of people who came late to shul so they don't have to walk home alone. The fields. The Romans didn't let us build shuls in the cities, so that we had to build shuls in the fields. So if someone is late to shul and he stays to say Marav, like this was at a time where it took 20 minutes to daven Marav, it would take me 2 minutes to say Magen Avos, so I'll save time and I'll say the Magen Avos instead of Mashmon Esrei, and I'll go home with everyone else. So comes the halacha to say on the first night of Pesach, you don't have to worry about that. Don't say Magen Avos. The other one is, you hear the minhag, you don't have to say Kriyat Shema Lamita the night of Pesach. What's the point of Kriyat Shema? To protect me from the mazikin, from bad dreams, from, right? So, the night of Pesach, you don't have to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. These are two halachas brought down
Do we follow them today? Does that happen to this day? Is that a real custom
people follow? So, this is why why do you think I asked you that, we're not going to finish this today, but what did I say that this is connected to Shvocha Moscha Lavoye? What does it have to do with four cups?
I don't know.
You do it in your house?
I don't know what that.
After finishing, you open the door and you invite all the, oh, I'd love you to come in. And
yeah, there's a concept that you leave the cup on the table.
Right. And you say, you're not familiar with Shvocha Moscha Lavoye?
Yeah, we should have been.
Okay, so what, this is more of an Ashkenazic minhag, but what happened is that because of the proximity of Pesach to a particular holiday, Christians didn't need excuses to beat up and kill Jews, but the proximity of Pesach to, you know, Good Friday, the crucifixion of Jesus, Easter, and all because of the proximity of the holidays and the accusation of deicide, killed our God, right? So Jews were adarabba. Jews were in greater harm in practicality. Jews were in greater harm than the first night of Pesach because of everything that goes on.
Also, the first night of Pesach was the Last Supper, so then you're celebrating.
They went crazy with what we're doing on Pesach. So we had to, somehow make things fit here, but
you have to say prayers when you open the door.
The whole point of opening the door. The point of opening the door in its original form was to be aware of what's going on the street. What are they doing? Are they starting? Are they making a crowd? Are they causing trouble? Are they lighting fires? Are they setting the show on fire? Be aware of what's going on today.
So you just leave a cup on the
problem is we're supposed to feel more protected because it's Leil Shimurim, right?
Right.
And here, Adrabah, our experience is that we're in more trouble. You ever hear the story of the birth of the Maharal Prague, who was involved so many times in saving the Jews from these kind of stories? But they even tell a story of his actual birth. He was born on the first night of Pesach, that we know. His birth was the first Seder. Mm-hmm. The is the birth year of Maharal Mipraag. And according to it's a legend, it's a story, whatever it is, his mother expressed at the Seder that she thinks this baby is coming immediately. And the father ran out into the street to get a doctor. Right? And he found a doctor, a midwife or something, to come and help her give birth. And on his way back home, as the midwife was opening it down the way, he noticed that there's some people, stealing into his shul. He saw people, some people he recognized, which is secretly leading the way into the shul. They didn't have sophisticated locking systems, and they didn't make their way into the shul. He secretly watched them. He sees what they're doing. They're going into the other room. First, he thought they'd take a Torah. They see they didn't take anything. Right? So he goes into the Aron himself to see, and he said he sees that under the there's some drawers inside the Aron, and he sees there are three or four bottles of blood in the Aron. Just containers of blood. Right? So they didn't come to take anything, they came to leave something. Quickly came, spent the whole night trying to clean everything up, and he took the bottle, of course, filled out the blood and put wine inside. In the same jars. The next morning, 200 people with torches and axes can come up to the shul during davening and they say, "We know where you keep the blood of the Christians you have to kill for your matzahs, and we know where you keep it." And just imagine what would have happened if you found the blood there. If they found the blood there. So we know exactly where you keep it.
This is a setup, though.
Of course, it was a setup. Had the wife not at that moment said, I'm giving birth, get a midwife. It's while he was out, he saw what they were doing. Right?
So when that
had
happened, what happened in the end?
In the end, they
Of course,
they didn't find the blood. They said, "How did you know it was there?" I saw him put in the blood. He goes, "It's not blood, it's wine." So after what's happened, did people confess that he tried to frame them? I don't know, but so whatever it is, okay, all right, okay. So that is the this Kos Yeshuos we're talking about here. Okay, by the way, you see the Pnei Moshe on the Shamani actually uses this expression, Dal Lishonos Shal Yehula. See the Pnei Moshe there, Kineged Arba Yehulos. Arba Lishonos Shal Yehula. He does just what the Torah Tzimim says not to do. Same thing. But in all fairness, so does Rashi. Look at source number 5. Arba Kosos Kineged Arba Lishonei Gehula. Amorim Begolos. Comes the Torah Tzimim to say, is the Torah Tzimim a justifiable objection? Doesn't mean that they're the four synonyms. I don't know. Torah Tzimim is sometimes shepherded with these kind of things. Okay, you know that the Sfaradim, on the next page, if you turn, I give you some of the stories in Tanakh where these word kosos appear. And the Sfaradim make a bracha on the first and third cups, but not on the second and fourth. Third cup is after Birkat HaMazon. I got to make another bracha on the cup I'm having right afterwards. Well, it's true that Kos Sheni, I know in my house it's two and a half hours between Kos Rishon and Kos Sheni, but
it's one after the other. That excuse, it's been a long time. It doesn't have to be a long time. So okay, you don't make
a bracha on that Kos. A little questionable.
The timing, you're saying?
I don't know. It's been in some places. It's been 2 hours between the first and second coast. In Manav Shach, you should make another bracha. All right. Well, okay. But that's the main.
So, but that's
all.
Source number 11. The Rambam says this after that. Okay.
Right. Okay. Source number 12 is where the
See, look what I underlined in the Rashbam. Arba kosos shel yayin tiknu chachamim la'arba brachos arba kosos kedei shetei kol achas al kos echad. Of Yerushalmi mashma keneged arba geulos haksuvim b'parsha v'odavu keneged arba kosos hatarei lasha sivik adosh baruch lash kosos ovdei kochavim v'nera l'shapichach nagu l'mar b'kos revi kodem halal shvoch ha'mosva al ha'goyim asher lo yiduch. This is, look how old this is. Okay. All right.
So wait, Ashkenazi they make how many brachot on the?
You say all four. Sephardi surroundings, you got, you have to ask your Sephardi Rebbe. I make a bracha, you know, whether it's 10 minutes later or two and a half hours later. You know what I'm saying? At weddings, there's a custom to give the one who says the first bracha of the Sheva brachas the second bracha also. Have you seen that?
The first two brachas,
right? So where did that custom ever come from? Can't you give seven different brachas? Apparently, it stems from the minhag of giving the Messiah the Kedusha in that first bracha. But he just said by Birkat Hanan, Birkat Erisim, under the same chuppah. I don't care how long he spoke. You know, this is too close to making him make another bracha. All right, but he says by Birkat Hanan and another bracha, okay. Right. Okay, could be. All right. Here it's Gemara Baba Basra, where Rishpah mentions that order. Apparently, maybe some correction that people should make. And it's the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the first Rebbe, the Balatanya, and the Marsha, who discussed what the order should be. But I just have what's written in my Torah. Okay? So, here's what I'd like to do for next time. So the thing is, to start with, is that the pasuk Shloch HaMosla appears in two different places in the Tanakh. So the Shvo, and some Haggadahs quote one of them, some Haggadahs quote the other, and there's a slight difference between the two. Alright, just look up as you know. Just compare them, look at them, and see what. Put stickies in them so you don't have to. Right. You don't have to go crazy looking them up. I'm going to try to bring in some very old Haggadahs, older than all these.
How old is this one?
Dates usually are on the front cover.
This is 1728, this is a copy, right?
Yeah, of course. Some of these have very, very much constricted. They leave out a lot of stuff that we have.
This one doesn't have.
Okay, so just see, we'll try to figure out if there's something about where these are written. Some of this article, I have one here from China, in order to see what this looks like. Okay, we'll do that next time.